Of course, we come back to coffee. Friday Night History 64, Season 2, Episode 31. Coast Defense and Coffee. So the thing about Hokkaido is that it gets cold. Or at least it did before climate change fucked the world over. Very, very cold. And in the Edo period, if you were from Japan proper, and remember, Hokkaido wasn't part of Japan in the Edo period, it was cold that might have been unaccustomed and even deadly. Now, Tohoku region is known for snow and cold, sure, but not to the extent that Hokkaido would have been. But it was the Tohoku domains which the shogun had ordered to handle coast defense there in the face of colonial expansion and heading off Russian incursions, by doing colonial expansion of its own. And so we come again to Hirosaki Domain, alias Tsugaru Domain, and the focus of our recent episodes. Why is it that there is a coffee bean-shaped monument to Tsugaru Domain in Wakkanai, the northernmost municipality in Japan? To answer that, we need to back up and again get the lay of the land. Hokkaido is roughly triangle-shaped, with one point extending south into the Matsumaya Peninsula. Another extends northeast into Cape Nosappu, which is in what's now the city of Nemuro, comprising Hokkaido's easternmost point. A third extends north into what's now Wakkanai City and Cape Soya. Beyond Cape Soya is the Soya Strait, across which is the island of Sakhalin, which is a whole other island with plenty of interesting history we can save for another time. For those of you reading the blog post, check out the map that follows. So with that said, let's pick up with the aftermath of Adam Kirilovich Laxman's visit to Japan. Yes, yes, laugh all you want, but laugh now. Remember, the shogunate gave him papers saying the Russians could send one ship a year as long as it was to Nagasaki. This was 1792, and the shogunate was a little surprised when in 1804, a Russian emissary named Nikolai Petrovich Rezanov arrived aboard the Russian sloop Nadezhda with a copy of the shogunate credentials and a letter from Tsar Alexander I. But the shogunate hemmed and hawed about actual permission for trade, and after waiting in Nagasaki for months, first on ship and then ashore, Rezanov gave up in early 1805. Remember, this wasn't an isolated thing. Laxman and Rezanov were leaders on the ground in the broader Russian push toward eastward expansion. Rezanov himself is better remembered for his role in the Russian-American Company and the birth of what we now call the state of Alaska. Curiously, the Russian-American Company survived the sale of Russia to the U.S. and got bought out by an American firm, and in that capacity still exists today as the successor Alaska Commercial Company, which operates grocery stores in rural Alaska. Small world, huh? But anyway. This Russian expansionism eastward was cause for great concern in the Tokugawa shogunate, and after Rezanov stopped at the Nosappu Peninsula in Ezochi, modern Hokkaido, on his way back home in 1805, the shogunate took Ezochi under direct supervision in 1807. For coast defense duty, they picked Tohoku domains because they figured that Tohoku Bushi would have been used to the cold. Tsugaru and Aizu were given the lead, and they suffered for it. If you know anything about Aizu, you might know that after the Boshin War, its survivors got exiled to Tonami up in the Shimokita Peninsula. This was the territory the imperial government had confiscated from Nambu Domain, and it was a stone's throw from Tsugaru territory. And to the Aizu people, it was a frozen hell on earth. Now, the other part of this is that when they were exiled, the Aizu survivors were expected to farm the land, something that they had zero background in as warrior administrator types. And it couldn't have helped that the Shimokita Peninsula also includes Osorezan, the mountain that is still considered one of the entrances to the Buddhist underworld. So in a sense, it literally was hell on earth. The cold was unaccustomed, is the point. So that should give you some sense of how big Tohoku is, that Aizu people, who were also Tohoku people, would have been so poorly equipped to deal with the cold on the other end of the region. Now, think of both Aizu and Tsugaru troops being unequipped for even wilder terrain and fiercer cold overlooking the Soya Strait. The Tsugaru and Aizu troops weren't the only ones. Nambu Domain, Akita Domain, and Sendai Domain had similar duties elsewhere in Hokkaido and the Kuriles, with Sendai Domain's major command post being Shiraoi. But Tsugaru and Aizu had some of the most remote outposts, like the ones on the Soya Strait. And because they were unaccustomed to the cold and remote terrain, A significant number of Aizu and Tsugaru samurai there died of edema and malnutrition. It bears noting that the local Ainu population didn't have these problems, but the colonizing shogunate forces didn't think to ask them. Recognizing it had made a mistake, the shogunate then allowed these forces to winter a little further south at Mashke. The shogunate ended its direct administration in 1821, and so the deployment ended. But in 1855, it ordered a new deployment, and this time it was better prepared. First, the shogunate issued kachel, a sort of Dutch wood stove with a tall, freestanding pipe, to the new wave of Tsugaru and other Tohoku samurai it sent north for coast guard duty. It also issued heavier European-style blankets, along with coffee rations meant as prophylactic treatment against edema. But why coffee? Coffee doesn't have a very long history in Japan. It first appears in 1724, and for a long time, the only Japanese people who could have it were shogunate interpreters who worked with the Dutch in Nagasaki most closely. But in 1803, Hirokawa Kai, a Dutch-style doctor, first commented on coffee's medicinal benefits with edema. Incidentally, it was a little bit after this that Udagawa Yoan, the Dutch studies scholar who had a formative influence in Japanese chemistry-related language especially, wrote his treatise on coffee and coffee preparation, to which the modern kanji for coffee is ascribed. So this was known when the first Tsugaru troops went north to the Soya Strait for that fatal first deployment, and just hadn't penetrated as deeply into the shogunate's mission planning. The shogunate's instructions regarding the coffee were as follows, quote, "Dutch coffee beans will protect against cold weather and drive off dampness. Roast until black, grind until thin and small, then place in a hemp bag. Put the bag in hot water until it takes the color of bansha tea, then place in an earthenware teapot until cool. You are to use it with sugar." Unquote. By the 1860s, the shogunate significantly expanded its use of coffee, and Tokugawa Yoshinobu is reported as having served coffee at a diplomatic reception shortly after his accession to the office of shogun. It's this coffee blend that his descendant Yoshitomo attempted to recreate, and it's still out there as shogun coffee. And so it was that people in modern Hirosaki City, aware of their ancestors' troubles in the cold of what's now Wakkanai, organized to build a monument to those unfortunate Tsugaru Bushi who died without tasting coffee. It was unveiled in 1992. Nearby is also a monument to explorer Mamiya Rinzo, who was the subject of episode 25, and whose journey north to Sakhalin and the mouth of the Amu River began from there. And this is why, in Soya Park in the city of Wakkanai, under tall trees in a roadside clearing covered in dandelions, beside the graves of the Aizu and Tsugaru men, is a monument in the shape of a coffee bean. And with that, I will see you next time. I'm Nairi, and this has been Friday Night History. Now, questions? Friday Night History is a historical romp with me, your favorite history dyke, Dr. Nairi A. Bakalian. Our theme is Ohayashi from Paratune, licensed under CC 4.0. Support this podcast and the rest of my work at patreon.com/riversidewings. Thank you, and remember, who you are and what lights your fire is worth fighting for. I'll see you around.